Thank you today. Thank you that we can come together to worship you, to praise you, and to come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your spirit may just quicken us, so, Lord, that we may be able to receive it in our heart, and let that change us and empower us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that you are the source of everything that we have, are the source of all our blessings. Lord, and through your word, you minister to us day by day, Lord, as we connect with you and as we receive from you strength, wisdom, understanding, and victory over the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Just help us, even today, to hear your word and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to continue on what I started last week about the fact that, you know, God helps those who love him. That's the way it works, not because he doesn't want to help everybody. It's because those who love him can receive from him, are open to actually listen to what he's saying and what he's speaking to us. We have to understand how God speaks to us, how God communicates with us. Okay. Often just because we hear the word speaking, you know, we think it has to be something that is, you know, verbally said, but that's not the idea. Like God communicates with us in many different ways. And really, the way it does is just depending very much on us, because we are more able to hear in some area than others, in some way than others. You know, he does it that normally as we go to the Word, as we read the Scriptures. But sometimes we just don't need to read them. They just come to us. And they just don't come to us just by chance. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit bringing them to us, so that because we are in a situation in which we need them. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes talks to us, you know, very specifically about things. Some other times he gives us a general direction. And we have to do. Other times he can use more graphical way, like giving us dreams. Some people are more receptive that way, and sometimes that's the only way he gets through us, because we are just close to listen. And so he has to communicate to us. Dreams, sometimes even visions. But, you know, that's not something that we can say, well, God, you have to communicate with that way. That's his decision. That's his choice, that he knows how to get across to us. Okay. See, the situation is sometimes even the situations we are in, they're not just, you know, by chance. Nothing happened by chance. God is in control. That's why he's sovereign. So the situation we are in can be, you know, information for us to give us direction, to give us his position about things, or to reflect to us things. You know, sometimes difficulties, sickness, or other problems can come to us, and we can see that that's the case, for example, with Job in the situation he was in. There is something they needed to receive and understand. And when he got the revelation that he needed, the situation changed. So even that, see, but don't go on just the physical things. You know, some people think that what they did in the Old Testament, like fleeces, you know, the fact that something happened, then, you know, the devil can make something happen too. So you don't, can't go by those things. You have to use some wisdom and some, you know, connection with God to interpret things properly. There is an interpretation part that is critical in our understanding, because depending, sometime according to our own theology, our own beliefs, our own things, we distort what is actually communicating to us. because we have some preferences, some way that we want things to be. And that doesn't help us, okay? Just sometimes just come through ideas and thoughts that come to our mind, and suddenly, oh, yes. You know, even reading the scripture, you know, sometimes you read something 1,000 times, and then one day, you say, oh, look at that. And you finally have, you know, an understanding that applies completely to a situation where you are in and helps you to address it, okay? Really, the way we get it, you know, the people say, I don't hear God. Well, you know, God speaks all the time. That's what I say. He's just, that's the way it is. It's just the environment that is in us should speak to us. Okay, so the ability to actually hear depends on the fact that we are able to make that connection. It's the connection that we have that is important, okay? And not just God speaks to us. Everything speaks to us, okay? Other people, the enemy speaks to us. Everything, you know, is around. We have to be able to discern. We have to be able to recognize when it's God and when it's something else. Because the enemy comes often as, you know, an angel of light. And he's not. And we have to recognize that, not to be deceived. You know, it's not just anything that comes to our way. We have to be gullible and take. We have to see and check out everything that we get with the word. Okay? See, really... The spiritual understanding and beliefs that we have are important in the process of actually hearing and receiving from him. And the more we have understanding and believe the right thing and have the right theology, the better we are equipped to be able to discern and to, you know, grow into the understanding of what a way he communicates to us. Praise the Lord. Our effort is really to be able to do that. The knowledge of the Word of God is critical because that has to be the filter according to which we take things. Now, hopefully, be a good filter, because if we don't understand it properly, it's going to filter up the things that we shouldn't filter. And so, you know, our understanding, our, you know, be able to, the Word says in Proverbs says very fine, you know, all the time, our understanding and our wisdom are important, are the major things for us to develop, okay? Sometimes the teaching and the indoctrination that we have can be a problem because we've been taught something that is not accurate. And so we have to be able to be open to the Spirit of God through the Word to correct our ideas, okay? Our personality is a factor. Some people are just pushed around easily and convinced easily, other not. You know, because they are the opposite. They are stubborn and they just don't want to move. Okay? It's not a question of being, you know, push out or you know, the question of being, you know, gullible and listen to anything or stubborn and being in our position. It's a question of actually use wisdom to be able to receive things. Okay, things that hinder in that, to be able to hear properly, are idols we have, things that we want, desires, you know, needs that we have. Even the needs can be a problem because they can become idols in themselves. Our bondages and our experiences. We may have sometimes people have bad experiences in some area and they are really find difficult to connect with God because of that. So, because they can hear properly. Our personality makes a big difference too. Okay. But, you know, we should grow in the Lord. We should get better at listening to him. We should mature. The Bible talks about, you know, our growth into perfection. You know, we never get perfected. We never get, you know, we just get better, hopefully. And that's what we want to make sure. And this is our, you know, there are conditions in which this takes place. In John chapter 10, Jesus says something that I really should help us to understand how this process takes place. Verse 26 says, "But do you not believe because you are not my sheep? and I said, as I said to you. So being a sheep enable us to believe because we can hear. Goats cannot hear because they already have their mind made up in their way, and so they will be just not listening to when the shepherd speaks. Okay, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the idea is that, you know, out of our relationship with him and our connection with him and our experience in this relationship, we grow into this communication that should be the natural thing for us. This is why God wants to have a relationship with us. Doesn't want us to be, you know, going into a mechanical type of a thing that we are relating with him. You know, it's the same thing with person. You cannot go by formulas. If you go by formula trying to relate to people, you know, there you're not going to have a good relationship. You know, everything that you talk to them, one, two, three, four, it's doesn't make a natural, see, it's a natural living relationship with a living God. Hopefully you are living too, you're not a machine. You see, that's where, you know, that's why it's not a computer program that can be in your brain. It should be a flexibility there in which you adapt to what the situation of the moment, and you know what to do. Praise the Lord. Okay? The bottom line of what Jesus was saying, okay, that the sheep hear me and follow me. Okay? That means they can distinguish, and in the other places says that too, you know? So that's the idea, okay? We should be able to hear his voice when he speaks up, when he communicates to us. In our communication, that should be going on all the time between us and God. We have to be able to be connected. We have to be able to be directed. Praise the Lord. Okay? And it says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And the idea here is clear that as we are connected with him, we are going to be able to be, you know, receiving the direction that we need so that we are not confused by other ideas that come our way, by other voices that speak to us. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord, Baba? See, the thing is, you know, God cares about us. And he's faithful, okay? And he goes after us. See, before he even know him, he knows us and knows what, and he tries to connect with us. We have to understand that. And he's going to help us to do what? He's going to help us to hear him. He's going to teach us how to do that. He's going to train you to get better at hearing him if you care about enough and connect with him. And you are going to learn that over time, and you should be getting better at that. But the bottom line, though, is important to understand, okay, the way you go about listening. In Jeremiah chapter 29, okay, explain when you are going to be able to hear. Okay? It says, verse 12, Jeremiah 29 says, you know, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Okay? That's the idea, that we are searching to connect with him with all our heart. There are not things hindering for us that are distracting from that, that are not interfering with our desire to connect with him. That is the key. There are no idols, in other words, that control us in our desire or our wants. Okay, we want to connect with him. We search for him. And we are not searching just to hear voices. We are not searching just to get anything supernatural. We are searching to know him personally. Okay? And as we do that, says there in verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. So it doesn't matter what kind of captivity you have, if you are really seeking to connect with him, you are really seeking to receive, you know, to be able to hear him because of your, the direction that he's providing your life, you care about your relationship, then I'll bring us back from our captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all places that you have been, that I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place in which I caused you to be carried away captive, bring back you from you. So this is really the thing he wants to do, is to bring us, okay? But we must, to be able to hear him properly, we must find him first. We must be wanting to connect with him. And then he's going to bring us back from captivity, okay? Whatever that is. And to how you bring somebody out from captivity, out of from bondage, what we have to do is to give a specific instruction. Understanding of what you have to do. If you don't understand what you have to do, it has to be the right thing, okay? Praying is not just magic, probably, you know, make it appear, okay? And you pray and the thing appears. No, you know, he's going to deal with you in the things that are hindering you so that you can take the step and make the decision in your heart that need to be made so that you can connect with him. That's what he wants. He wants your connection, your friendship, your relationship. Okay, he wants to establish that. Okay, but to do that and to get better, you have to keep hearing. You get to be getting the instruction that you need and follow them, okay? Because generally for anything that you get from God, there are some requirements. God just doesn't give things like that. He gives us when you meet the conditions. You know, doesn't go according to what you want, has to go according to what he prescribed, okay? And he doesn't change. You know, the rules are the same, were the same in the Old Testament as the New Testament, just our understanding and our way we connect has changed, hopefully, and we are going to get better at that, okay? But we have to know that, and we have to recognize things properly. You know, we must be able to hear instruction from him. Direction, correction, all the type of things that, and then obey them. That's really what makes the difference, okay? And what we have to learn to do that, okay? We, the basic, what I'm saying is the basic things we have to want is to be connected, is to be willing, wanting God to take over our life. That means we want him to be our Lord, not just somebody that we go to get blessed, but something that guides us in everything we do. The Lordship is before the salvation. You cannot be saved without, you know, you cannot be cleansed without being your Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the first commandment, and that comes as a result of you choose to love him more than anything else. That's the requirement, okay? Loving God with all your heart is the first commandment. It's actually the only commandment because the second one is just connected to that. Praise the Lord. If you remember last week, we talked about Saul. And we talk about how convinced he was, okay, that he had followed God in doing the things that he had done, and he didn't understand that he was completely off, okay? Now, he thought that because he didn't care about really being connected with God. He cared about what he was getting for himself. Okay. When he realized it, when Samuel the prophet realized it, went there, you know, and told him about his mistake, he recognized his mistake, but even then wasn't enough. Okay? When he said in 1 Samuel 15:24, says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word. Because that way, in that case, what the information was communicated to him. Samuel had told him what he had to do, okay? Because he was connected with God and he knew the things that was required. He says, but, you know, I have transgressed these things, the commandment from the Lord and your word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voices. So you see, that shows another voice that we can hear, the pressure that you get from people around us, of which we want to conform, that we want to be accepted by. See, that is one of the major things that influences people too. And that can be an idol, and in this case was an idol for him, and remained an idol, because even when he said he repented, he didn't repent because he was keeping the same values for himself and didn't get anywhere with all his story. He lost his kingdom, and later on, in his own time, he was killed. Okay, that's not, you know, we can fool God about what we, our position. He knows exactly where we stand. Okay, so what? But God is merciful. Praise God. Otherwise, he would have no chance. Okay? And he is merciful, you know, but who is merciful with? Everybody? No. He's not merciful to everybody. He's merciful to those who align themselves up with him. Because he cannot be unfair. He cannot do the things that, he cannot allow wrong things to take place. Nothing darkness, there is no darkness in him. Okay? So he cannot accept anything that is not aligned with his judgment. That's the way, you know, and here it says in Exodus 34:7, says, you know, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So he's merciful and grace, he's forgiven. He's forgiving us whenever, no matter what we do. But, just following that, by no means clearing the guilty. So, you know, and you get guilty not because of the things you do, but because of position, the recognition, your repentance, your turning around inside, you change of heart. God sees the change of your heart and that result in his forgiveness. Without changing your heart, you don't get anywhere. You are stuck like the way he was stuck for the rest of his life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, God is not, actually, is very simple, and what he wants is not that difficult. It's simple, but not necessarily easy, because we had to change. We had to be willing to change, okay? What I read last week about Proverbs says, you know, every man thing, you know, in his own right, every man, every way of a man is right in his own eye, but the Lord weighs the heart. So this is the way God works. It doesn't work about the way you see. It doesn't work according to your idea. It doesn't work according to your conviction. Okay? Saul was pretty convinced that I've done the right thing. That didn't make anything with God. He didn't get anywhere with that. Actually, he got in trouble. So we had to remember this. Okay, what we think doesn't matter. It's what he thinks that matters. And we had to make, so if we don't get the connection with him so that I can hear what he says, we are not going to get anywhere. Okay, we had to understand that. Now, There are plenty of scripture to help us to make that connection. Okay, because he said he judges us, and how does he judge us? He judges our heart. Okay, so it's our heart that we have really problem even perceiving properly. Because it's difficult really to know what motivates us at a deeper level. See, the word says that the heart is like a deep water. So, you know, you have to go there, you can start reasoning out, and you can cook up anything you want. So that's not a way to do it. So even our confidence sometimes is based on the wrong thing. Here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, give us an indication that can help us in be able to hear or be able to be corrected probably for the things that we need to hear. You know, 1 John 5, 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So, you know, it's not according to what we think his will is. And sometimes we think we know God's will because we know two or three scriptures and we apply them and we forget another 20 scriptures that are somewhere else and we just think we know it's God's will. And we are fooling ourselves because God's mind is different than ours. He's not limited the way we are. We don't, you know, we have really attention span that is really small. Actually, it's insignificant compared to God. And what we have to match up is this perception, not ours. Okay? We have to learn to do that. And how do we are going to know that? Well, following verse give us the indication. Okay? And we know that he hears us. If he heard us, you know, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of him. Okay, that gives us, you know, the test very clearly to know if we got his will or not. If we think that we got it and nothing happened, that means we got something that is not really what is his will. That doesn't mean things happen instantaneous all the time, you know, but something has to happen. You have to see that God respond to what you are doing, respond to your decision. You know, if doesn't do anything, that means that, well, you're missing something. So instead of being there, I said, you know, I'm going to keep doing that, you know, because this is what people do. I mean, they keep, I'm praying, I'm asking God, nothing happened, I keep asking. I stand on the word. I am stubborn. You know, you remember what the prophet Samuel said? Stubbornness is wickedness. So what does it mean? It means that you are not connecting. Wickedness is just simply that you are not in good standing. Are you following me? If we are in good standing, we get results. It may take time for our reaction, but we should be able to see something right away taking place. If does nothing happen, don't get stuck there because you are going to get, because God doesn't move just because you are pestering him with your prayer. Hello. He is not going to be influenced by your noise, by your how excited you are in pray. You know, those all that stuff is all flesh. You don't need to say anything. You just can whisper to him. He hears before even you whisper because he knows what you need before you even know. So, you know, connecting with God is done spiritually, not physically. If you think that you impress God by the noise, by the words you use, or the other things, you are really wasting your time. Sometimes just in purpose, I make less noise. Even if people like that you make noise. Praise the Lord. Okay? Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, so, you know, and we know that, we know because he's faithful. See, that's what, on the basis in which we know. He's faithful, so he cannot not be faithful. You know, when we are not faithful, he's still faithful. That doesn't mean that because when, you know, we are not faithful, he's going to give us to us anyway. No. He's, you know, his faithfulness is to his word, not to us. So he's not going to just to please us. God is not a man pleaser. We can be man pleaser, and that becomes an idol that is the wrong thing to have there, because then you are not going to be able to listen to God. Praise the Lord. The way it happened, you know, you have to change your heart for him to be manifesting his faithfulness, because that's what the word says in many different places. Okay? He is forgiving those who do the things they tell him to do. That means that they change their heart. Okay? And, you know, taking, for example, another scripture in James chapter 4, verse 3. See, it says very clearly, and it says it's exactly the same concept. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You see, that's the idea. I mean, you, what you are thinking about is just the things you want. God is thinking about, well, what about what they want to do in other things? And if everything doesn't match up, at least to the degree, not perfectly, because he cannot expect you to be perfect, because you are far away from being perfect. But he expects that there is a limit of alignment of himself, of yourself with his idea, yeah, at least in the ideas that he's trying to get across to you. The things that are on the edge there. You align yourself in the edge judgment, you get the results all the time. Okay? So, you know, for example, people want many different things. Okay? And we can ask God to do them, even things that God wants to do, like, for example, healing. But so you go and people pray for you and you say, well, you know, that's something that God, that's in the will of God. Yeah, it's in the will of God. But there is a but. For example, have you forgiven everybody? Obviously, very clear. You know, the scripture says very clearly in other places, if you do not forgive, don't expect God to answer your prayer. But the same principle, you know, the same principle applies. So that means, you know, you are applying what you think is the will of God, when instead it's not the will of God, because there is a part there that needs to be fixed before it's going to be the will of God in that particular area. You can't fool God because he knows everything. And you don't. And he goes according to his principle, not according to your will. That's the idea. That is really what has to play. See, that's what we learn when we start connecting with God the way he wants us. It's not by pestering him about getting the answer to our prayer, but being what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we, what did we do? We renew our mind. We just align up ourselves so that we think the way he thinks. And only then we are going to know what is the good and, you know, perfect will of God. Wow. Because we can start understanding more and more what is needed to be done. And sometimes there is a lot of stuff that we need to understand. Okay. The thing is, fortunately, God is wise and he knows what he's doing. And he doesn't expect us to know everything, because otherwise we never get anything. Okay? So he you see, he's just and fair in judging our position, because he knows exactly what we should know, because he's been dealing with us over and over again for it. And there are many different things that, you know, we often forget and do not understand, okay? When we don't know, what are we going to do? Because we don't know. Well, first thing you have to do, Lord, tell me, what do I have to know? See, that's something, Psalm, I can't remember exactly which Psalm says, you know, the children of Israel, you know, God was sending problems, you know, there, and they repented, they went there. And God helped them a bit. But what did they do? After they did not ask him for direction on the things they had to do, and they got back into the same problem. So, see, again, what is it? Connection with him. Listening. Learning to listen. So when things don't go the way you think they should go, you see, that's a good sign for you that you have to seek God better about not the problem that you want to resolve, but other things that you are not aware that has to be that need to be fixed before he's going to do anything. Those scriptures, you know, it's not just one scripture. This concept is all over the scriptures. And he's showing that very clearly. It's not, you know, what we think is the will of God. There's no the will of God in our situation is, you know, put it that way. The will of God for one person is different from the will of God for another person. Why? Because God judges you according to your position, what you could be, not what you theoretically can be. Because he knows where you are, and he knows where you're going, and he knows what he's doing with you, and so he knows what to expect from you. And if he's trying to do something and you are not responding, he's just waiting until you to respond. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, it's not that difficult to understand, but this is critical. And many people don't like that because they think that they can tell God what to do. I mean, there are some scriptures even so translated stupidly, command me. Command me, you command God? You're crazy. That means ask me. That's what it means, that word. Not command. And you better do it humbly. Because otherwise you get nowhere. Because otherwise you don't listen to what he's telling you. That's what the humbleness is. Are you following? See, how do you change God's judgment or the devil, you know, legal rights over the situation? That's important to understand. And really, you know, Samuel gave that information to Saul, but he didn't use it properly. Okay? In 1 Samuel 15, 23, I read it last week. You know, for rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. That means, you know, trying to have the taking God's power and do it, you know, your way. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So here he's saying very clearly, okay, that's the things that, you know, for that reason, okay? Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, you know, I rejected him to, as king. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, being stubborn doesn't help at all with God. What makes a difference is humility and obedience, the opposite. He's not telling you, oh, you hold on your position. Yeah, then you get really stuck up there, really, because you're not going to get anywhere. Now, lots of people think that that's the way to do. I mean, something doesn't work, do the same thing, more of it. That's foolishness. If something doesn't work, you have to do something else. It's simple, that's logic, okay? So, so if you are with God, then there is no, you can be assured, connected with him, and there is no reason to be any fear of the enemy. You know, going back to James chapter 4, we read before verse 3, going to verse 5, you know, said, oh, do you think that the scripture says, in vain the Spirit dwells in you, in us, earn jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. So there are two things here. He gives grace. The implication that gives grace. Grace is not something that we have the right to get. That is a gift. Grace is a merited gift that he gives us. Is not something that we can claim. You don't claim a gift with anybody, including God. You just, when you receive it, it's out of the goodness of the heart that he has to give it to us, and we are grateful for it because we recognize we don't deserve it anyway. And if you think otherwise, you're really off and you aren't going to get anything. That's the bottom line. Okay? So, you know, forgive gives more grace, and that's the way it works with God. It's grace that we get. Okay, God resists the proud, the one that thinks he's going to do it his own way, okay, and give grace to the humble. Okay? See, you don't need to be there fighting or anything else. You just to align yourself. Okay? Not being stubborn, but being, which is iniquity, but being humble, which is really the way God wants. Now, therefore, that's the following verse. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there are two words there. Submit and resist. And it's interesting that the word submit means, you know, the word there in Greek means to set, to make a position for yourself. To obey. To submit yourself. Okay? So it's a setting of what? A setting of your heart. That you decide to follow, to obey God. To be obedient to what you get. Okay? Maybe you get the wrong thing. Doesn't work. Until, you know, keep changing. Keep asking. Keep listening. Now, the other word is interesting. Because it's resist. Doesn't say fight it, doesn't take authority, it doesn't say any of those stuff, says resist. And many people don't understand that. And they waste their energy doing things that don't work. See, the same word resist is used twice in those two verses. One for God. God, exactly the same word. God resists the proud. What it does? God take a position, it doesn't move. You can be proud and you are stuck there. Now, the other things, you resist the devil. That means, you know, the same thing. You take a position and you don't move. And you stand on what you know is the right thing with God. You trust God. Okay? So, to those two things, you know, something actually resisting that you can do, and it's not very complicated. You know your position, you know you stay in the Word, you stay in the Word, and you know if the Word that you know doesn't work, then you start to get the other Word that you need to know. So you ask him again, because he is the Savior, not yourself. It's not the effort that you make. You know, salvation is effortless. Once you make that decision, the power is not yours. It's God, no matter what people say. You can take the power from God. God can, you know, use you to release his power. But unless you're lined up with him, he releases nothing. Praise the Lord. Okay? And then goes on, you see, about what you actually do, you know, and it's practically draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So you see, he is the source of the solution. He is the Savior. He is the one that set us free. He is the one that gave us the breakthrough. So what you have to do, try to fight the enemy? No. Fighting the enemy is the thing you do, and that's not going to save you. You resist them. You stand the position with the word. But, okay, you draw closest to God. You align yourself. You allow God to tell you the things that need to be realigned within you. And you keep realigning yourself until things start to work. You can save yourself. God is the Savior. God is the one that gives you the victory. No one else will. It's what he did, not what you do. What you have to do is to align. He judges you according to your heart. So it's there, the change that has to be taking place is not the power that you get, because the power that you get is not your power anyway. There's a lot of confusion on that. The bottom line is this. Okay, we can see that apply very clearly. Time is running short. We're going to have the time. This applies very clearly in a situation that happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, Judah was attacked. People of Judah were attacked by the Syrian armies. Three different armies coming together, and they were much stronger and much bigger and much more powerful than Judah was in terms of number and everything else. And they were scared. The king of Judah there, you know, Jehoshaphat, saw that the situation was really dead end. There was no way, but they had God, and they trusted God, and they listened to God. And God said, don't worry, go and fight them. No, you know. But don't, you know, they get together, and there is what it says, you know, chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and would praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever, not our power, you overcome the enemy. What happened? Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. They killed each other. By the time they got there, they had spoiled it. It took 3 days to collect. It was all the blessing. And the place was called, you know, the Valley of Berakah, which actually means the valley of blessings. They were just blessed, and they didn't need even to do anything. That's really, you can see, that's the way, that's the intent, that's what God likes to do. Nobody took his glory. Even the glory was with him. And he did everything, and he resolved the whole situation, and they were free. Now, you know, that is the secret, okay, to overcome the enemy. You resist the devil, okay, take a position, know the position, you know, I'm going to trust God. I believe God. These are the things that God told me to do. I'm going to do them. Nothing happened? Well, God, what else do I have to do? And when you are going to do that part and you really met, sometimes you can go the wrong direction because of your wrong ideas. But God is there to help you. God is there to provide the information that you need. You have to hear his voice. His sheep hear his voice. But if you don't know enough of the word, you know, you don't have the information for you to actually pick up the right things. You get crazy ideas, and you think crazy ideas are going to be delivering you. It's not crazy idea. It's the truth that sets us free. That's why, you know, John 8, 31 and 32 says very clearly, you stay in the world, you'll be his disciples indeed. Disciple means somebody that learn, listen, is guided. And you shall know the truth. And the whole thing is finished. And you shall set free. The same way as they did there. Okay, the same in 2 Chronicles 20. Okay, God wants to work for us. Praise the Lord. He wants to set us free. But not according to our wishes, but according to his plan. Okay? So the only thing we have to do is to be smart enough to know when you got it and when you haven't got it. It's not by following somebody else preaching. It's not by listening to somebody else that thinks knows everything. It's not by going to somebody and ask for prayer every all over the place and you're going to hear the truth. You go to God. He's your source. He's the one that talks to you. He's the one that guides you. You are not afraid of anything that the enemy can do to you because God is in control. And if he's in control and you are trying to be connected with him, he's going to help you. He's going to help you even before you seek for him. Because he's merciful and gracious. Not just merciful. You know, you can be merciful and not being gracious. That means, you know, that he's really nice. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we got a good point to finish with the prayer here. Yeah. I am finished. I'm just beginning. Praise the Lord. But you know, if you start applying some of these principles without being scared or anything, trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, in all your way acknowledge him, just be connected with him, and he will guide your path. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, you're going to be in the valley of Barakah, whatever it is called there, you know, in the valley of blessings. Not because you go after the blessing, but because you go after God. Amen. All right. Let's close in prayer here. You get anything today?
Yes.
Amen. So, Father, thank you, for your goodness, your mercy, Lord, your love that you have for us, to guide us, to direct us, to correct us, to empower us, to stand and have victory because you already won. And that victory is forced for us so that we can be set free. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that we can come to you to receive all the direction that we need. And we don't need to fear anything, anyone. We praise you and thank you and give you honor and glory to you because you are our salvation and you are our Lord. That we say and believe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.